Good evening, and welcome to our Maundy Thursday service. I'm so glad that you've joined us tonight for this special time of reflecting further on the journey of Jesus to the cross. You know, the plan was for us to meet in the fellowship hall with a soup supper and then to have this service following that. But things have changed and things are different. But even though things are different tonight, my prayer is that we can still have a meaningful time of reflection and of worship and of partaking of the elements. Now, for those of you that are in right relationship with the Lord, there will be an opportunity to share together in communion. So be sure you have some bread and some juice or at least some kind of beverage at hand so that you can participate then in that at the appropriate time. But for now, let's bow our heads in prayer. Gracious God, we thank you for this opportunity to join our hearts in worship, in reflection, in seeking you, in communing with you and with each other. And we pray, Holy Spirit, that you would be at work, even though we are geographically separated, that you would bind us together in one accord. May we sense, Lord, your presence. May we sense, Lord, the presence of brothers and sisters in Christ. And may your anointing be upon our service here tonight. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, we're going to sing a couple songs. You may not see them, but Carla Bear is at the piano, and Diane Wengard and Bonnie Shank are the vocalists, along with Ken Strite. And after we sing a couple songs, Ken Strite is going to have our meditation this evening, so we look forward to that ministry from the Word following the singing.
No. Greetings to each of you as we remember the happenings of this week referred to as Holy Week. I've titled my message this evening as A New Command. I'll be looking at John chapter 13, verses 1 through 17, then 34 and 35, and then chapter 15, verses 12 to 13. We're observing Maundy Thursday as a special day leading up to Good Friday and then Easter Sunday. I remember in earlier years hearing the term Maundy Thursday and misunderstanding the term as Monday Thursday and wondering why the two different days of the week were termed together. I later learned that the term was Maundy and not Monday, and that Maundy referred to the washing of another's feet. Why would we do that? It does seem like a strange thing to do in our present day of wearing shoes and walking on relatively clean surfaces, but in the time when Jesus was walking the streets, it was quite different. The streets were often shared with different forms of livestock and were not the cleanest surfaces to be walking on with sandals or perhaps even bare feet. When a person visited in another home, the host would see to it that the guest's feet were washed. This not only cleansed their feet, but also soothed them. This was the normal courtesy of a good host. Well, actually, the host would not do the actual washing, but would have a servant take care of that service that could be sometimes less than pleasant. This brings us to the first section of Scripture, John 13, verses 1 through 17. Now, before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour had come, that he should depart from this world to the Father, having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end. And supper being ended, the devil having already put it into the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray him, Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands, and that he had come from God and was going to God, rose from supper and laid aside his garments, took a towel, and girded himself. After that, he poured water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel with which he was girded. Then he came to Simon Peter, and Simon said to him, "Lord, are you washing my feet?" Jesus answered to him and said to him, "What I am doing you do not understand now, but you will know after this." Peter said to him, "You shall never wash my feet." Jesus answered him, "If I do not wash you, you have no part with me." Simon Peter said to him, "Lord, not my feet only, but also my hands and my head." Then Jesus said to him, "He who is bathed needs only to wash his feet, but is completely clean, and you are clean, but not all of you." For he knew who would betray him. Therefore he said, "You are not all clean." So when he had washed their feet, taken his garments, and sat down again, he said to them, "Do you know what I have done to you? You call me teacher and Lord, and you say, 'Well,' for so I am. If I then, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example that you should do as I have done to you. Most assuredly, I say to you, a servant is not greater than his master, nor is he who is sent greater than he who sent him. If you know these things, blessed are you if you do them." In verse 4, he laid aside his garments, took a towel, and girded himself, thereby assuming the role of a servant. Note that he laid aside his garments, indicating a temporary change. Later in verse 12, he would take back his garments. This was so different from the normal to the extent that Peter did not want to allow Jesus to wash his feet. He just could not comprehend Jesus, their leader, stooping so low as to wash his feet. When Jesus reprimanded Peter and told him unless he allowed Jesus to wash his feet, he could have no part with him, Peter, in his outspoken way, said he wanted his hands and his head washed as well. Jesus told him if he had bathed, he only needed his feet washed. Moody Bible Commentary refers to the bath that Jesus speaks of here as to the one-time cleansing at rebirth and gaining of salvation. The washing of feet pictures the recurrent cleansing of confessed sin in our daily walk with Christ. After he had washed their feet, he took off the towel and put on his garments and returned to his place at the table as a teacher and master. Then he explained to them that he had washed their feet as an example that they should do for others, that it was not beneath them to serve other people. The word maundy comes to us from an Anglo-French word derived from the Latin mandatum, which means commandment. Now let's go to verses 34 and 35, taken from the Message. Let me give you a new command, love one another. In the same way I loved you, you love one another. This is how everyone will recognize that you are my disciples, when they see the love you have for each other. Does this mean that when you come to visit us at our house, that I should go get a basin of water and wash your feet? No, although our church does on occasion have a service where we do follow Jesus' example and wash one another's feet. As a matter of fact, if we were gathered here under normal conditions, we would have the opportunity to participate in washing the feet of others. I think there are more practical ways other than to wash feet to demonstrate our love for others in normal situations. One way my wife and I have experienced this was when we received several phone calls recently for no other purpose than to inquire about our well-being. This was very much appreciated, especially during this time of staying at home and not enjoying times of fellowship with others. We felt loved. What are some other ways we can share our love? Do we actually look for ways to show love to others? Do we recognize others' needs? Do we show love other than when there are special needs? Do we give of ourselves sacrificially? Jesus repeats his commandments in John 15, verses 12 and 13, going further in verse 13, saying, "This is the very best way to love. Put your life on the line for your friends." Are we too busy? Are we not concerned? What do our neighbors observe? Do they recognize that we are disciples of Jesus by the way we express our love to others? This is his command. Let's do it. Let's pray. Father, as we look at what you do for us, as you had loved us so much that you gave your life to die on the cross for us, Father, we thank you that Jesus was willing to do this and that he loved us to that extent. And so, Father, we pray that you would give us the strength, the wisdom, and the courage to love others just as you have loved us. So, Lord, we pray that you would help us to be observant and seeing the needs of other folks. And maybe even when there's not needs there, that we would still see the opportunity to share our love and appreciation for other people around us. So, Lord, as we continue to move into this Easter season, we just pray that we can have a deeper understanding of what you have done for us, and we thank you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Isn't it a wonderful thing to recognize that Jesus is the Messiah? And especially during these days that we're living in right now, to recognize that He is Lord of all, Lord over all. Well, we come to the time when we want to confess, if we are indeed believers in Christ and are right with the Lord, our faith through the partaking of the elements. Before we do that, I'd like to read just a couple passages of Scripture from Matthew chapter 26, verses 26, 7, and 8. It says, "And as they were eating, Jesus took bread, blessed and broke it, and gave it to the disciples and said, 'Take, eat, this is my body.' And then he took the cup and gave thanks and gave it to them, saying, 'Drink from it, all of you, for this is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for many for the remission of sins.'" And then in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 23 to 31, says, "For I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, 'Take, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me.' In the same manner, he also took the cup after supper, saying, 'This cup is the new covenant in my blood. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me.' In the same manner, he also took the cup after supper, saying, 'This cup is the new covenant in my blood. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death till he comes. Therefore, whoever eats this bread or drinks this cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of the bread and drink of the cup. For he who eats and drinks in an unworthy manner eats and drinks judgment to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this reason many are weak and sick among you, and many sleep. For if we would judge ourselves, we would not be judged." I'd like us just to take a few moments here to reflect on this passage of Scripture and to think of our own lives, to sort of do a self-examination, if you will, to see whether, as the psalmist put it, there be any wicked way in me. Is there something that I need to confess, to bring before the Lord just now? Lord, we thank you that your grace is sufficient. Where sin did abound, there grace did abound much more. We rejoice in that. Amen. Now, if you are indeed in Christ and want to declare that, to acknowledge that you do indeed have communion with Him, and are mindful of other brothers and sisters in the body of Christ, actually, not just in our church, but believers around the world who during this Holy Week are also reflecting and commemorating the body of Christ, which was broken for us. Lord, we thank You for what You have done. We thank You for Your broken body, that which You endured, that which You went through, offering Yourself as a sacrifice, yes, in obedience to the Father, but for us. Lord, bless the bread as we partake. In Jesus' name, amen. Partake with me. Tonight we recognize again that without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sin. And what a wonderful thing it is that Jesus, the Messiah, paid the price. He shed His blood for you and I. Lord, we are so grateful for the life, for the redemption, for the salvation, and all that that encompasses because of Your shed blood. Bless the cup as we partake together tonight. In Christ's name and for His sake, we pray. Amen. Let us share together now the cup. I really miss not being together so that I could see all of you and greet you personally. And yes, those days when we were able to give each other a handshake or a hug or whatever was fitting. But and yet we are together in Christ, in the Spirit. So let's continue to rejoice now as we sing another great hymn of the faith.
Christ, my Savior, we
And now may our Lord Jesus Christ himself and God our Father, who has shown us such love and in his grace has given us such unfailing encouragement and so sure a hope, still encourage and strengthen you in every good deed and word. Amen.